And we're going to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C.
His tagline, draining the swamp.
He intends to drain the swamp.
It is indeed time to drain the swamp.
Thanks to President Trump, the phrase drain the swamp became a central talking point in the last election and beyond. Jean Christie, should we be draining the swamp?
Absolutely not.
Jean is the executive director emeritus and senior policy advisor for the Association of State Wetland Managers. And you are, of course, talking about real swamps, right, Jean?
That's correct.
So then you say we should all be thinking about swamps in a very positive light. I just want to say, when we think about swamps, we think about icky places and places that many of us don't want to hang out. Why are they so important?
The wetlands are, you know, they're, I think of them as buffers between upland and deep water or watery habitats. So this is a place where you have a huge amount of, I guess, biological activity. And so they're rich in all these things that they do. So it's kind of like when you remove the wetlands, it'd be like trying to walk after you remove all the the cartilage in your bones. It wouldn't work anymore. And so as we lose wetlands, we are impairing the way that nature works in a balanced way. We get dirtier water. We get bigger floods. We get wildlife populations disappearing on the landscape. And we have bigger droughts. So it's referred to it as kind of a slow rolling tsunami. It happens slowly over time. So individuals don't understand that their actions are actually having this impact because it happens many, many times over, I think.
Actually, Jean, can you help us understand that? Because we're talking about a serious issue here with these swamps. And one thing that comes up is when wetlands are destroyed, as you mentioned, there is a lot of greenhouse gas that's emitted into the environment. Tell us how that process works.
Sure. Wetlands are unique because there's water there. And because there's water there, there's no oxygen in the soil. It's what we call anaerobic or oxygen-less conditions. So that means that when plants die, they don't deteriorate. They just kind of build up over time. And so more than, obviously, in upland areas where trees and whatnot, you know, get returned to the soil, it just builds up and builds up. And so we have huge stores of carbon in wetlands around the world, particularly in places like the Arctic and Indonesia and the tropical areas where you have, you know, maybe hundreds of feet of old decayed vegetation that's just piled upon itself. And so these areas store anywhere from 1 to 2 times the amount of carbon that is actually currently in the atmosphere. So it is a significant amount of the carbon that would be available to get into the atmosphere as well. It is accessible if the wetlands are destroyed. So for wetlands, when they are destroyed, that means that that carbon is potentially returned to the atmosphere, and that would accelerate climate change and global warming.
What actions, if any, are being taken here in the United States to prevent the loss of wetlands?
Well, that's a complicated question. The protections from dredge and fill are, if anything, we're on kind of a downward curve, the downward side of maybe a bell curve since about 2001. Wetlands are dynamic. They appear and they disappear in the landscape, just like forests and everything else. And actions of, you know, people can bring them back or we can lose them. So we sort of try to look at the net of what's happening. And generally, from my perspective, economic drivers are the final determinant of whether we lose or gain wetlands. Your regulatory programs slow wetland loss down, but until society as a whole values wetlands, it's difficult because we protect what we value. And obviously, a lot of people are not sure why they should value a swamp.
Jean Christie is the Executive Director Emeritus and Senior Policy Advisor for the Association of State Wetland Managers. Jean, thanks.
Thank you.